Let us turn again to the passage that we read together in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8 and verse 18. Luke 8 and verse 18. Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he seemeth to have. The Saviour was going throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And he, as so often, spoke in parables. We have this parable that is recorded on this occasion, perhaps the best known of all the parables, and that is the parable of the sower, or the parable of the seed, or the parable of the grounds. All are involved. And he then gave an explanation to his disciples. And we come to this counsel. Indeed, a command. For all God's counsels and all the Saviour's counsels are by way of command. There is such authority in them. We might make a distinction among ourselves between a command and a piece of counsel. And of course there's a distinction in the way the Saviour spoke. But, you see, there's authority with the Saviour's counsel. There's authority with it. And in that way, there's the force of a command behind the counsel he gives. We have this then. Take heed therefore how ye hear. Take heed. Whatever particular counsel and whatever particular teaching there was in the parable of the sower, this is one lesson we are to draw from it all. We're to be careful how we listen. Consider, might be another way of putting it, which implies an exercise of mind in connection with what we hear. And we might equally say, consider how you read. You see, when we are reading ourselves through the Word of God, or just a small portion of it for that matter, the Lord is saying to us, in effect, take heed how you read. Take it in and consider it. Let your mind go over it. Let your mind ponder it. And what is behind that, or at least what the Saviour goes on to say, is this. There are big, big issues depending on how we read or how we hear. And he expresses it in this way, on this occasion. Whosoever has something that matters, he will get more spiritual, having something of a spiritual nature. If we've got that, we will get more. And if we do not have that, if we do not have grace in our souls, if we do not have God's law operating in our lives, in other words, if we do not have the fear of God, we'll lose it all. We lose all the outward religion we have. You see, there's this great matter, our souls, and the eternal well-being of our souls. Therefore, be careful how you hear. Be careful how you read. There's these great matters hanging on the good we get or do not get for our souls. It's our eternal blessedness or the complete absence of it. It hangs on how we hear and how we read, and the use we make of that. And there's all sorts of things bound up with that, like praying for a blessing. Asking that the Lord, without going into the various points just now, but this is such an important point, and I hope to mention it again. The great matter of praying in connection with what we read, and the great matter of praying in connection with what we hear, particularly in church, or what we might be involved in, or just a listener to, a profitable conversation and spiritual things. The conversation comes to an end, but its eternal consequences do not come to an end when the conversation is over. We need to get a blessing with what we hear, with what we read. And we need to ask for a blessing. Well, let us try to notice three main points just now. The first is this, that, and particularly with reference just now to the parable of the sower, there's this matter, and you see, it's still in the Saviour's mind, if we can put it like that, his human mind just now. What he had said about fruit, or the absence of fruit. There was the one group of people who bore fruit, and there were the others who didn't bear fruit. There was the appearance of fruit for a while in two of them, but it didn't last. So what's behind this verse is the parable. I've said that, but I repeat it. And this significant matter of fruit or no fruit, we'll try to enlarge on that. And then the second thing, where there is fruit, more blessing will be given. And taking at the same time, one after the other, where there is no fruit, whatever there is in appearance, it will be lost. It will be taken away. And the third point then is this. Take heed how you hear. Be careful about how you hear. See that you hear profitably. See that you seek that. And it is actually the word for seeing that is translated as take heed. Words have various shades of meaning, of course. And we would be perfectly understood if we just said, see how you hear. But spelt out somewhat further, it's this, take heed how you hear. Well, first of all, the matter of fruit or no fruit. Second, that whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. And thirdly, take heed how you hear. First, fruit. And there was fruit. You can always expect that there will be fruit from the preaching of the word. It will not return unto God void or empty. It will accomplish what he pleases. Now it may, in exceptional cases, be that there is no fruit, absolutely no fruit. But let me just say a word about that part of ground where a portion of the seed fell. It was good ground, and the seed sprang up and bore fruit 100-fold. No other the Gospels speak of 60-fold and 30-fold. No doubt the Saviour told these parables a number of times in various parts of the country. Told them a number of times and perhaps presumably with variations. And he knew what he was doing. He knew how it was best to tell a parable in one place and with some variation in another place. But this is the point just now. There was fruit. The other part of the seed, beyond the first three types of ground, it sprang up and bore a lot of fruit. There was a lot of grain after the seed had taken root and had sprung up. Came to the stage where the corn could be reaped. As the Saviour says, that and the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. Where did that come from? That was the work of the Holy Spirit in the soul. Giving a willingness honestly to receive the testimony of God's word about sin and about salvation. Having heard the word, keep it. They lay hold of it. They retain it. They heard. And they heard well. As some people might speak about hearing well, when they mean that they believe that they got spiritual good for their souls. Well, corresponding to that is good ground. And they bring forth fruit with patience. Patience being a particular aspect of the fruit. That a living soul now. There's life in the soul. Yes, the seed may die, but it does die when planted in the ground. But it gives rise to another generation of seed when the whole growing cycle has come to its end. Well, what we have is a picture of how the Lord works. The seed is the word, we're told. The word gets planted in the soil of the soul, and it springs up. There's nourishment from the word of God. And they learn and learn more. And through that learning, there's growth in the soul. There's the growth of the various graces of faith, of love, of hope. That's why we need to keep coming back to hear the word of God. That this, if we have life in our souls, then the life would be strengthened. The growth would go on. The fruit, the graces would increase. Yes. We need to be stirred up to, if we have grace, we need to be stirred up to consider our situation, consider our need of growth, consider our need of the Holy Spirit to apply the truth. Yes. No wonder it says, take heed, the Savior said, take heed how ye hear. Now you see, it's a parable. It's a comparison. It doesn't tell us everything here that we might need to know. Yes, but there's fruit. And this took place, evidently. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. When the Jews asked the Savior, what must we do that we might work the works of God? What works will we do? And he brought them to this. This is the work of God. This is the work that God commands, that we would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord prepares the ground. The Lord works a sense of need in the soul. And the Lord gives grace to sinners to believe. And you see, He says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If ye love me, if you have life in your soul, if you are the good ground where the seed has fallen and the seed has not been wasted, but the seed has had an effect and life has been put into your soul, then show it by keeping my commandments. See, obedience, not only outwardly, that can be deceptive, as we may notice yet. That may be deceptive, but heart obedience, and whether it's a sincere receiving of the word, then the heart obedience will correspond to the outward obedience. But there was the area of ground which was trodden under the feet of passers-by. I think we're to be imagining an area where the seed is sown, and at the edge of, perhaps we might say, the particular person's property. If you go any further along, then you're onto somebody else's property, and perhaps it's between the two. fields, though you wouldn't have them marked off by fences as you do today, there might be a marker, but possibly just at the corner of each field to mark off one person's property from another, but somewhere there's a path, and people are walking along that path every day, say, and it all gets trodden down hard, and the seed can't get into the ground. Well, the devil comes immediately and takes away the word of God, the seed. That's the Savior's explanation. But you see, are we allowing, as it were, our souls to be trodden down hard so that the word cannot make any impression on us? Of course, it's only a parable. But, you see, by using this parable, we cannot say, we must not say, that a particular sinner is beyond the reach of God's word. That a sinner, who has heard the word of God and resisted it, the devil has been tramping around on that sinner's soul, picking up every seed of the word, distracting the sinner with irrelevant thoughts, tempting that sinner to engage in all kinds of activities that are contrary to how a godly person would live. And wasting time in the world's entertainments, wasting time in thinking unprofitable thoughts, the lusts of the world, the lusts of the flesh, you see, these have their effect. The tramping of these things over a soul is dangerous. We have a duty to keep ourselves from these things. We have a duty to try to protect the word that we hear, so that it will not be picked up by the devil, left exposed, one might say, to the birds of the air, as the Savior mentions that in his parable. Picking up the seed. That's what they'll do. As you might see pigeons picking up crumbs. But you see, this is something more serious. Something serious. Allowing the world to trample over our souls. Allowing the world. Allowing self-righteousness to trample all over our souls. Allowing procrastination to trample all over our souls. And saying, I can just as well find Christ next week as today. I can just as well find Christ, believe in Christ at the end of the world, at the end of my life as now. And in the meantime, I will allow worldliness to trample all over my soul. It's not necessarily the tramp. It's not necessarily what's in itself sinful that does the damage. One might be very careful about what we do with our time, not committing actual sin, if I can put it like that, but wasting time, or trying to earn as much as possible, and leaving no time for our souls. And then there's this. There's those on the rock, and they receive the word with joy, but they have no root, and for a while they believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. There's those who very quickly, and conversions can be quick. That's not what I mean. But according to what the Saviour says, there are those who seem to believe. They believe the truth, but there's this missing. Trust. Trust in the Saviour. Looking to Christ for salvation. That's missing. It's just an outward belief of the truth, and it doesn't last. Or sometimes it might last a long time, but it will be given up before they reach a lost eternity. That's the solemn thing. Given up before they reach a lost eternity. They have no root. There's no union with Christ. It's all superficial. It doesn't get into the heart. The life, yes, the life may change, but it's all outward. It's all outward. Oh, the Lord preserve us from that. And if that is what is true of us, may the Lord deliver us from it. May the Lord open our eyes. We're still on mercy's ground. Nobody is to despair. Nobody is to despair. Yes. And then there's the seed that fell among thorns. And it's those that have heard. That's true of it all. And the seed starts to grow. But there's all these thorns. And they spring up. And they choke the seed. And the Saviour compares that with some form, some imitation, something that up to a point compares with religion, real religion. There's a change, but there's the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. The sorts of things I mentioned in connection with the wayside, the seed sown in the wayside. But this goes further. It has an effect. The seed has an effect. The seed grows to some extent. There's some appearance of religion. But you see, they have so little time. No doubt they come to church. They might still keep family worship sometimes. But, you see, it's religion is choked. The profession of religion can hardly be kept up. There's no religion any longer, nothing to which this can be compared, no appearance of true religion. That's lost. It's all choked. People are trusting in grossing themselves with the pleasures of this life. That's not compatible with true Christianity. The riches, the cares, and the more riches, the more care, no doubt. These things That which is by, they have to be looked after, and that takes time. And where is the time for the things of the soul? Where is the time? Oh, let us all consider that. Are we giving the time we might to the things of our souls? Yes, we have duties in this world, duties to family, duties to our employer, and so on. But you see, for instance, are we taking the opportunities that we have to pray? The opportunities that we have. And there's the matter of making time. Making time. Well, let us go on to this. Where there is real fruit, people will be given more. And those who have no fruit will lose what they have. Or to put it in the Saviour's words, whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. You see, it's a growth. Those who have something of true religion, that will grow. You see what the Saviour says in Mark 4, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. And then there's glory, there's heaven. First the full, the blade, a little green shoot. And then there's the beginning of the growth of the seed. And then it's ready for harvest. And the harvest is the soul being taken away and brought to eternal glory. Yes, they will go where they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Not but that the sorrow and sighing were useful in their experience. They brought them to feel something more of their own weakness, their own sinfulness. They brought them to see more of the provision that is made in Christ Jesus, and they were brought more to lean upon that and to grow in grace. Yes. But the others, what about them? Well, supposing they keep things up, at least outwardly, until the end of their days, there will be this. They will be sent away into outer darkness, as the Saviour says. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Their pleasures are gone. The pleasures that perhaps distracted them from seeking the salvation of their souls, they don't last. They're taken away. And in the end, at least, they will be taken away before they go into a lost eternity where there are no pleasures. No pleasures of any kind. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You see, the rebellion. The rebellion against the just God who sent them where they didn't want to go. And they didn't want to go to himself. They wanted this life to continue. They wanted the pleasures and the riches and the care and the things that were causing care. They wanted that to continue. But no, it can't continue. The great thing is to find Christ, to seek, to put away the pleasure. Not to put away pleasure. There's pleasure in godliness. There's pleasure in considering the things of God. There's pleasure in considering in the work of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit in applying what Christ has done. Yes. And there's this that is taken away. The restraint. That was a benefit. And these things that they seem to have will be taken away. Their outward religion, what they thought was believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that deception will be taken away. And you see, at the end of the day, the Saviour will say what he said to the foolish virgins, "Verily, I say unto you, I know you not. I do not know you." He never knew them in the sense of knowing them as friends, in the sense of loving them. You see, these things that I'm trying to point out, they're serious, they're solemn, but they're real. And there's many a situation where people may be told that they need to face up to reality. But as far as religion is concerned, we need to face up to reality. Is it the right thing that we have? Is it true religion that we have? Are our souls alive? Is that the evidence of a living soul? What was the evidence that Saul of Tarsus had passed from death into life, so that he was no longer a lion going around, but he had become a lamb? It's this: behold, he prayeth. He's praying, not in his own self-righteousness, not, if that was true of him, as it was of many Pharisees, of the typical Pharisee standing at street corners so that others will see him. It's not that. He retires to his closet. He gets some quiet place so that he might pray there where no one else will see him. Now, of course, we don't need to be ashamed of praying. We don't need to be ashamed of closing our eyes to say a few words of prayer. And if that's not sensible, then we may just pray with our eyes open. Not to conceal our prayer, but to keep us safe. Well, if we have grace, grace will grow. If we do not have grace, we'll lose everything that we have. We'll lose all our religion. And you see, our opportunity is to find grace. Our opportunity is to find Christ and salvation from sin. They will come to an end. And you see, those who are resisting the gospel, their opportunities to hear about salvation and the way of salvation, they may come to an end. God in his judgment may take away their profession of religion long before they die. Whatever degree of profession there was, and there's a degree of profession, no doubt, in coming to church, they're professing that this is what they believe. There's a further profession of having faith in Christ. But you see, we might lose our outward religion if we're forever turning away from Christ. The devil is being more and more allowed to tramp over our souls and to cause the hardening of our souls in resistance against the gospel. And therefore, take heed how you hear. Be careful, very careful how you hear. Yes, you see, there's a very solemn verse, almost at the end of Isaiah chapter 65 and at verse 12, where Israel was being told, therefore will I number you. You see, they were those that were forsaking the Lord and forgetting his holy mountain where sacrifices were offered. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, he did not answer. When I spake, he did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Now we can apply the principles there to ourselves. When God calls, are we answering? Are we asking him to deliver us from sin, deliver us from the power of sin? Take away my unbelief, take away my hardness of heart. When I called, you did not answer. Take heed how you hear. You see, what I've been saying today, I trust, has been in accordance with the word of God. There's always the verses that I quote. They're sure. There's no human element there. Perhaps I shouldn't say that, but there's a human element in the writing of the word of God. There were instruments that God used. Though the great thing is the work of the Holy Spirit leading on the minds of the men that were used to write the word. But, you see, are we responding to the call of the gospel? Have we got this that was put into the mouth of Samuel? Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, thy servant is listening. Or if we could say, speak, Lord, into my soul, speak by the power of the Holy Spirit so that I would respond with a living faith. Yes, take heed how ye hear. Is it just a case of going out the door and saying, that's another service over. I can go back to what I enjoy. I know. Conscience might take a sinner throughout a lifetime to hear the word of God and to read the Bible. Take heed how you hear. Go to the Lord to ask his blessing. Ponder over it. Don't say that service is over in a way, in a number of ways. Perhaps it isn't. It's not over as far as the judgment is concerned. It will return. It will come against us if we have despised, if we didn't take heed how we heard, it will come up against us again. It will be part of what is laid out as evidence that we are only fit for a lost eternity. Take heed how ye hear. That's the thing. We need to make use of our opportunities. Watch therefore, the Saviour says, parable of the 10 virgins again. Take watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. We are to hear as if there was no time left, or only a fraction of time left. There may be many years before some of us. But you see, the unwillingness to come to Christ now is based on the idea that to go through this world as a saved sinner is not a pleasant thing. I pointed out already the blessing of having Christ, the blessedness of having a new heart, the blessing of having been turned from our own ways to serve the living God. Oh, seek him now. Seek him earnestly. Take heed how you hear. Many a thing has been said before you in the sermons that you have heard through a lifetime. Yes. Take heed how you read. Take heed how you read the word. Pray over it. Oh, speak to me. See, that's coming back. What Eli the priest said to Samuel. It was the Lord that was speaking, not Eli. What a blessing it would be for us if it would come to this. It's the Lord that is speaking to my soul, not just the minister. Yes. It is the Lord, and he is speaking. The minister is just an ambassador, trying to make use of the word of God, trying to apply it, trying to explain it. Yes, and you've got direct access to the word of God, and you've got the great blessing that you have it in your own language, you have your own copy. You have many a copy, perhaps. Make use of the Bible. Take heed how you read. Seek to make use of what you hear. Take heed how you hear. God is speaking. But on our way to eternity, and give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. Two things perhaps there, very briefly. One, examine yourself. Have I got the evidences of having passed from death unto life? Is the word of God precious? Or sometimes you've read it and not get anything. Some sermons, you may hear them and not make anything of them. Not get any good from them. But take heed how you hear. And then there's this. That we are to seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thought. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, you see, we may come to the conclusion. The conclusion may be obvious. I don't have grace. Then, absolutely, seek the Lord. There may be a question. Do I have grace? Well, seek the Lord. There may be the conclusion, I have obtained mercy. Well, seek the Lord. Seek him more. seeks to know him better, seek grace to take heed how you hear and how you read. And remember that the Lord is saying, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. Thou knowest how poor we are. Thou knowest how needy we are. Speak to our souls and enable us to take heed how we hear and how we read. Bless thy word. Take to do with us, however hardened we may be. Stretch out thy hand in mercy and draw us to thyself. Keep us in every way. Wash away our sin. Subdue our iniquity. Make us holy. I grant that those who do not have true religion would be brought to thyself, that thou wouldst deal with them in mercy, that thou wouldst open their eyes spiritually and open their ears and loosen their tongues so that they might plead for mercy, and grant that thou wouldst be generous, for thou art a generous giver. Be generous to thy people in what thou dost give them. Make it clear to them that they are thine own. And more, may they take heed how they hear and how they read. Pardon us, bless us, keep us. Bless all that is done in thy name throughout the world today. For Jesus' sake, amen.